This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
What a fine morning it is in St. Louis. John Hancock is in for Amy Marks-Kors.
Hey there.
I'm Chris Ronchi. Good morning to all of you. Join us today, would you? 314-436-7900. Since nobody calls or texts me anymore,
I know.
Then, you know, you can, just to make me feel better about me. And John would like to hear from you, too.
Oh, I would.
Also, Odyssey app. Listen to the show there. You could stream it live. Podcasts are available later. It's all there for you, so anything you miss is there. But there is a feature with the there's a little button that says send a message. You can tap it, record a message to send to the show, and you might get to hear it on the air. We are streaming live also visually. If you want to look at us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, at Chris Amy KMOX.
Not recommended.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, it seemed like it was about to happen for the last several weeks, and it did. City SC, the soccer team here in town, has fired their head coach, Olaf Melberg, and they've done so with, what, just half a season played? Not even that. 15 games, and he is out.
That was quick. And President Trump accuses Vladimir Putin of playing with fire. And President Trump is weighing sanctions against Russia.
We'll talk to Joe Khalil from News Nation about that. Also, the Cardinals, they win over the Baltimore Orioles, so they're going to have a rubber match tonight, John. You know what a rubber match is, don't you?
That's where you find out which side of the rubber you're on.
Well, no. It's when, you know, the three-game series...
Yes.
And it's split.
Somebody's got to win.
Someone's got to win. Somebody's got to win.
Snooker, we call that a decider.
Oh, well, the decider is tonight.
Yes, sir.
The Cardinals will play at 5:35 in Baltimore. We have the 4:40 first pitch right here on KMOX. And by the way, it is Edward Roscoe Murrow. That's, I know you were wondering, because of KMOX, in case you hadn't heard, won several Murrow Awards.
We got a whole wall full of them.
We do, but we just won three more.
I know.
Or four more, was it?
The Murrows are stacking up around here.
This place, just an award-winning station.
It's full of Murrow.
Yeah, so Edward R. Murrow, one of the great journalists in history.
He was.
So, as I mentioned, it's I think if you're a soccer fan and have been following closely with the team and what's been going on, this seemed inevitable because they haven't won in 2 months. You haven't won a game in 2 months.
That's not good.
No. However, John.
So did this coach ever produce a victory in his entire coaching career?
Oh, yeah. They won here earlier in the season. They do have wins. They're not winless all year.
They fired Carnell after the season last year, right?
No, they fired him
during the season.
At the beginning of July last year.
Okay. Okay. So,
now... they are on, if you're a player and you've been around since the beginning of last year, this will be the fourth head coach that you've dealt with, because now they have an interim head coach, guy who's running the City 2 team. So he's their head coach now. But it's fascinating just from a sports perspective, because this happens very rarely. In fact, I can't really off the top of my head think of a time.
Not even one year. Yeah.
Where you're hired, unless you've done something wrong, like, I don't know, mail fraud. Usually, if you get hired, you get at least 1 year. And even if you get that first year and into the second year, it's not going well and they fire you mid-season, that's still considered to be relatively early.
Yeah.
You know, usually you get a couple of years. So Olaf did not. And it sucks for us because we have determined Olaf Melberg to be the most handsome, the handsomest man in St. Louis. And now he's leaving. Yeah. Have you seen him?
I have not seen Olaf Melberg.
John.
Where's he from?
I thought Sweden.
Yeah, I think Sweden is right.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. See, it's one of the Scandinavian countries. Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. They're all beautiful
they
over there.
They really are.
So, yeah. This is it's just a development you kind of knew was coming, but City is in a very disappointing situation right now, because if you remember it, before the year even started, Carolyn Kendall Betts was on one of the City's produced interviews that she was doing, and she said, we have to make the playoffs this year. You know, this
not going to happen.
This is a playoff year, and they have been greatly disappointed.
I haven't checked. How's the attendance been?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I've been the second to last home game they've had. I went to it, and it was good. A lot of people there. The place is packed. I mean, there are some empty seats, but for the most part, tickets are sold. It still does really well. It is still a ticket to get, despite all the losing. I will say this about St. Louis. They have come out. They've come out in support of that team since its inception. And, of course, they had the really good year at the beginning. And maybe they gave us some unreasonable expectations because they were the best team in the conference.
I mean, that was incredible.
Right. So that probably shouldn't have happened. But it shouldn't be this bad. They are second to last in the conference right now. They have won twice.
There's a lot of teams in that league, man. I mean, what, 30 teams?
It's 30. 30? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So they are 14 of 15 in the Western Conference. Mm. But, I mean, can you think of a time a coach has come in 15 games and they're out? I mean, we're talking like 3 months into the season.
Yeah, I could be wrong about this, but I remember a Big Red coach, football Cardinal coach, Bob Holloway. And I know he had a very, but he probably lasted the full year, but he may have gotten fired before that season was over. That was a long time ago. When I was a wee little lad.
When you were a little lad?
Yes.
Well, I don't remember that at all.
Before your time, Ron.
Yeah, it was before my time. Yeah, so we'll see. Hopefully City has to, you know, they're on a good trajectory here. Hopefully, from here on out. I don't know that it is all entirely coaching. I think there are some roster issues for sure. And one thing that has to be done, and I am such a proponent of spending money on a roster. I know there's this philosophy out there that you don't have to spend money in order to win in sports. We hear it a lot in baseball, that there are teams that can win. Look at the Tampa Bay Rays. They never spend money, and they always find ways to win. Yeah, they do. You can do it that way.
But you can't sustain it.
You can't. It's very difficult to, and I don't recommend it, because all it does is it limits the avenues that you have to win games. Because you're basically saying, we have to be perfect on the margins. We have to make all the right moves in personnel. Otherwise, we cannot cover up any mistakes, right? Because we're not going to spend past the mistakes. So you're basically putting it on your front office, whatever sport you're in, you're putting it on the front office to be perfect.
And player development. And you think about all of the heralded rookies that have come up in baseball. And just haven't materialized, you know? I mean, they're okay, but none of them are the caliber of player you thought you were going to get.
Right.
And so your player development system has to be virtually flawless.
Which is a really tough ask. It's a tough ask for those teams to make sure they're perfect. And it's not that the, you know, City SC spends no money, but they're going to have to probably start spending a little bit more.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's the bottom line.
In that first year, they did spend some money. They brought in Tim Parker. Roman Berkey makes a good chunk of change. I imagine João Klaus does as well. And the other problem when you're basing it all on player development is you're taking 18 and 19-year-old kids having no idea how they're going to mature, if they're going to mature, and what their work ethic is necessarily. So it's a high-risk proposition.
Well, we'll see what happens here, but hopefully this is the start of something better for City SC, because the fans have been supportive of the team, and they're going to have to reward these fans, I think. And by the way, Marianne is watching us on Facebook and says, agree, he's so good looking. We're talking about Olaf.
Oh, I'm going to say she's not about us.
Not about us.
There you go.
John Hancock is in with me. Amy Markscores is out. I'm Chris Ranji. It's good to have you with us. 314-436-7900. On the show today, we're going to talk to John Rooney, the voice of the team. He's with us at 10:30. We'll have a Battle Hawks player right before that at 10:15. The wide receiver Blake Jackson is going to be on the show.
Nice.
And Brian McKenna Day is coming up May 31st. We talked to J.C. Corcoran last week, who is emceeing the event, and the founder of the St. Louis Hero Network, Charlie Metzner, is going to join the show. That'll be at 11 o'clock today. So there's a lot coming up on the show. We are glad you are with us.
Fun.
It's the Chris and Amy Show with John Hancock on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The pitch. Ground ball to the first baseman. That's picked by Burleson. He kicks the bag for a Redbird winner. Henderson is out 3 and assisted, and this ballgame has come to an end. The Cardinals even the series with a 7-4 victory at Camden Yards.
How about the Birds, John? They got a chance of, what'd you call it, the decider?
The decider today, yeah.
I'm the decider. Is that what that means? Yeah, tonight the Baltimore Orioles hosting the Redbirds, and the Cardinals are looking to go 8 games over 500.
Yeah,
Miles Michaelis is starting.
First time in 3 years.
I know, right?
They reached that. And, you know, that game last night could have easily gotten away from us. We'd have lost that game last year. And the Cardinals fought back. Nolan Arenado hits a dinger to give him the lead, and they never looked back.
That's exactly the guy. Other than, I would argue, Jordan Walker,
mm-hmm.
Arenado's the guy that you want to get a huge hit late. I mean, for the team to win, it doesn't matter. But I mean in terms of getting a positive feeling and maybe something to build on, seeing Jordan Walker do that late in the game, I think, is a little nugget in that basket of his growth, right?
No question.
You don't necessarily need that from Arenado, but I'm saying for growth, because Walker needs to continue to get better and better offensively since he's going to be part of their future. It's really important, but it's also great to see Arenado do it just because he hasn't offensively been, it hasn't been great. He's been really good in the field.
Yes.
He's putting together a gold glove campaign at third base. It just hasn't really been there offensively for him. So
his April
that's
wasn't
huge for
bad.
Him too.
His April wasn't bad.
Right. He started off pretty well.
But May's been a struggle.
Yeah.
And so that was good to see. And those back-to-back triples, something I've very rarely seen thing in baseball is back-to-back triples. And Burleson and Walker did it. And I can't remember the last time I've seen back-to-back triples.
I don't know that I've seen it either. Are you buying into this team?
Oh, I'm all in.
You're bought in.
I'm all in.
Now,
I don't think they win the World Series.
Are you one of those people
who
fluctuates like the rest of the fan base does?
No. I've been pretty consistent on this ball club from spring training. I thought they were going to be better than people thought they were going to be. And, you know, there's a lot of talent in these young guys. And, you know, we're seeing it certainly out of Brendan Donovan, who's having just an unearthly type season. He's on pace to break Matt Carpenter's all-time single-season doubles record. And you've got what Mason Wynn is doing now. He got off to a rough start, but he's playing very well now. Burleson's come along. Victor Scott, the second in center field, has, I think, exceeded expectations. And then Ivan Herrera, this guy could be...
He can hit.
He could be a genuine superstar in this game if he keeps hitting the way he's hitting right now.
Yeah, and it may not be as a catcher, but he can definitely hit.
Yeah. You know, and I do think catching every day does take away from your offense. It would have to. You've got your exceptions, Johnny Bench. But, you know, that physical exertion every day and the balls ricocheting off your head and various body parts, that can't help your ability at the plate.
No, I mean, Buster Posey did it.
Yeah, he was.
You know, he could hit and also, you know, caught primarily. But you're right. It does. It takes a pretty good toll on your body.
It does. You know, and I remember the year Yachty hit 300. It was unbelievable that he was able to do that.
It's amazing. I don't know how you can. That's why a lot of times in the minor leagues, and Kevin Wheeler can speak to this too, they will, if they've got a guy they know can hit, they might try to steer him away from that position.
Yeah, I think Herrera, long term, if he stays with the Cardinals, and I hope he does, he probably takes over that first base position once Contreras' contract is up.
That very well could be the case. Gorman got in last night. He got a triple. I think we said it was Gorman and Walker who got the back-to-back triples last night.
Okay.
Yeah, and that is a – and we've talked a lot about that on the Gas House Gang – about him not getting the at-bats when coming into the season. That was the expectation, that there was going to be enough room for him to play every
right.
day. And he just hasn't gotten the opportunity because Arenado is still here. And I'm not saying he should play, but it is unfortunate that they're not able to find out more about him by allowing him the runway they've been able to allow Jordan Walker and all the other younger players.
Yeah,
like Victor
and then
Scott.
What do you do? Because in all likelihood, Arenado's back next year.
Yeah.
And there's no place for Gorman. And if you move on from Gorman and he turns into a 35 home run a year guy, which is possible, that would be a big regret.
You have gone to games this year.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about this team?
The defense.
They are playing so well.
They make plays that are eye-popping, and they do it regularly. They turn double plays in critical moments. They're exciting. And, you know, they run some on the bases. I think this team, they're nowhere near the league leaders in stolen bases. But their base running, going from first to third, scoring on a shallow sacrifice fly because of their speed, that's fun to watch.
They are a pretty fun to watch team, and just like last night, evidenced in last night, they're never really out of it. And they gave up the lead.
They did.
In that game. They found a way to come back. Granted, Baltimore is a bad team. They're not good. I think they're better than their record.
They are.
I don't know if they're significantly better than their record, but they are better than what they've done this year, which is really, really bad. They are 19-35. So yeah. I think they're better than that. I mean, I don't think they're as bad as what we've seen, but they're still not good. So you're supposed to win those games. You're supposed to beat bad bullpens like they have. And the Cardinals did it last night. You beat a bad bullpen.
They did. They absolutely did. What's your impression of Matt Holliday's kid?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a future.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson, he's got a future. How about Dylan Carlson, making big plays in the field and getting big hits?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were talking in the last segment about developing players, and this was a guy, this was a can't-miss guy.
Right.
So much so that we were unwilling to deal him.
That's right.
In pursuit of Juan Soto. And then it just didn't work here, and for reasons inexplicable to me. But, you know, he seems like a nice kid. I wish him well. And he's not exactly lighting the world on fire. He's had a pretty good stream of, what, 3 or 4 games?
Right.
So, you know, we'll see whether he develops.
You know, he's motivated.
Oh, against Cardinals.
Well, I mean, you should be motivated anyway, but these guys are human, and there's a little extra motivation when it's a team to let you go.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's right. But, you know, time will tell on Dylan Carlson. But he's no longer a young pup. I mean, he's got to be, what, 26, 25?
Yeah, no, he's right. He's not like Holliday, who's 21.
Right.
Like, that kid's got a long career ahead of him.
And he looks like he's 15, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he really does.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a future in the game.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that happens when you come from the pedigree that he does. His dad, really, really, really good ball player.
Yes.
And you learn from him, and you're around that all the time growing up. You have an advantage over a lot of your peers. It doesn't mean you have more talent than kids you grow up playing against necessarily, but you have an advantage because you have access to that. You have access to learning from somebody who is was such a great ball player.
Well, and you got some pretty good genes in there, too. That doesn't hurt.
Absolutely. All right. News Nation Washington correspondent Joe Khalil will join us when we come back. John Hancock, off the top of the show, mentioned Trump sort of threatening Vladimir Putin, saying that he is playing with fire with all of these attacks in Ukraine lately. So we will talk to Joe Khalil about the latest on that when we come back on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Hancock is in for Amy today. I'm Chris Ranji, 104.1 FM KMOX. Time to go to the guest line this morning. And as we mentioned, President Trump has said that Vladimir Putin is playing with fire after the latest rounds of attacks that he has, done on Ukraine. And to talk about what's happening now with us, Joe Khalil, News Nation Washington correspondent, joins us on KMOX. Joe, we appreciate your time. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So we don't usually hear the president speak out so strongly against Vladimir Putin. Usually he tempers the things that he says about him. Does this seem like a bit of a different tone? And if it does, is there anything really behind it?
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, over the weekend, he called Vladimir Putin crazy, which is not unusual for American leaders. We've heard senators and House members and former presidents call Putin a killer and a thug and worse, but we haven't heard it from Trump. And so this is a sort of shift in tone for him. And I mean, the reason is pretty obvious. All last week, President Trump tried directly to get involved in the peace negotiations, trying to bring Russia and Ukraine to the table. The U.S. has made sort of demands of both sides, and Ukraine has done virtually everything that the U.S. has asked in terms of trying to get to a peaceful settlement. Russia has not. In fact, they've done the opposite. In the week when Trump was trying to intervene and, you know, get a peace deal, Russia ramped up its aggression in a serious way, dropping like 90-plus missiles on Ukraine in that week when, again, the peace talks were happening. Russia killed something like 30 innocent civilians and injured 160 more. So there's an obvious frustration here. Remember, President Trump on the campaign trail said in the first day in office he would solve this war, this conflict. Now, that may have been hyperbole, but clearly he had an expectation that he could do more to bring both sides to the table. And clearly there is one side, Russia, who began this war that's not cooperating at all. And it's frustrating, President Trump, and he's sort of lashing out because of it.
The U.S. policy on this seems to indicate that they would like to see Ukraine cede some territory to Russia in order to get a ceasefire and get to the end of the line. And I don't personally see that happening on the side of Ukraine. Is American foreign policy at this point neutral between the two sides?
You know, it's sort of a shifting thing, quite honestly. We've heard people acknowledge that it is likely that they see some kind of American brokered peace deal where, you're right, some of the territory that Ukraine had lost, potentially back to 2014, you know, might have to remain in Russian hands. The Ukrainians are not happy about that. The new territory that Russia had made gains in since 2022, since their invasion, certainly it seems like Ukrainian leaders are pushing back in a significant way. That may be a red line for them. So, you know, it's hard to see what the deal might look like. We've heard rumblings about it. Nothing on paper, you know, has been released, and President Trump certainly hasn't released any specific details himself. What is clear, though, again, in the last couple of weeks, is that when the United States has said, let's have a temporary ceasefire agreement so that we can at least begin these talks in earnest without killing, Ukraine has consistently come to the table and signed on. And, you know, Putin would have phone calls with Trump where Trump says, I think the phone call went well. And then the next day he's launching missiles into Kyiv again.
So we know that Vladimir Putin's issue, one of the issues, is that he does not like the expansion of NATO. He does not want them to expand eastward at all. And already they have expanded into Scandinavian countries. So is there anything there that this president, President Trump, would look to do to placate that?
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly see that part of some kind of negotiation to end the war might include a limit on Ukraine entering NATO, or might include a period of years before which they would be able to formally enter NATO. I mean, that kind of thing, you know, we have also heard discussed. Now, whether Ukraine will agree to that is another question, but I mean, certainly something like that could be on the table. I think it's a bit of a fools errand to, you know, take Putin as an honest broker here, because, you know, over and over and over again, you know, over the years and multiple presidencies, you know, he's made commitments to the United States that he himself has not followed. So if there's a commitment where, you know, he makes a demand of when Ukraine can ever enter NATO, if they ever do, you know, and then he would have to hold up his end of the bargain. I don't know what American president, you know, in their right mind would trust that he would hold up any end of the bargain there. So that's where it gets really tricky. You're not exactly dealing with, you know, people who have a reputation for honoring their word on that side.
Joe Khalil is our guest. He is the News Nation Washington correspondent. You hit the nail squarely on the head there, Joe. Putin is a dishonest, malign broker in the international community, and he takes Crimea in 2014. Everybody says they're going to walk away. Now he invades in 2022. There's absolutely nothing that would tell us that even if we get a ceasefire and even if we get an agreement, what kinds of safeguards could be put in place short of NATO membership that could give the Ukrainians a sense that they're going to be protected long term?
You know, we're seeing Europe really take that mantle up in a big way. I mean, Europe has increased its own defense spending. You know, when people think of NATO, sometimes you hear, you know, European countries not paying their fair share. People might think it's a big pot of money and everybody pays in. That's not exactly how it works. NATO membership means you spend 1 or 2 or 3% of your GDP on your own military. Those are the NATO commitments. We've seen European countries step that up a bit. We've seen actually just this week, Germany saying that they are now going to provide more long range missiles to Ukraine so that they could potentially do more offensive attacks into Russia, deeper into Russian territory. So I think it's that kind of thing. You know, long term, it's a hard question to answer. And I don't envy those at the State Department and Secretary Marco Rubio and you know, the Trump administration who have to try to figure this out, because it does seem like, you know, over the years, several American presidents have tried to do a quote unquote reset with Russia. President Obama, that infamous reset button, George W. Bush said, you know, he looked Putin in the eye and saw the measure of the man and saw someone who he could trust. It seems like president after president have been sort of lulled into, you know, a sort of false sense that, you know, this time it could be different. So again, it's going to be a tough challenge in terms of long-term security for Ukraine. You know, if the long-term security means a more stable Russia.
Joe, let's turn our attention domestically here, because the Big Beautiful Bill has its approval from the House of Representatives, but it's going to face a fight in the Senate. Just how big of a fight is that going to be?
There are several Republican senators. I can count five immediately off the top of my head now. who have issues with the bill. And the problem is it's not because they're all united, these five. The really tricky part is you got two of these senators that say we need to be cutting more. And then you have three other senators who say we need to be cutting less. So that's going to be a real push and pull for Senate Majority Leader John Thune and for Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, who sent this bill over to the Senate. The concerns are that, you know, some say Medicaid cuts and reforms go too deep, right? So you have your Susan Collins, your Lisa Murkowski's, your Josh Hawley's even, closer to home for you folks, worried about people who may lose Medicaid coverage. And that's certainly a big deal. On the other side, there are some other Senate Republicans who say the cuts don't go deep enough. We need to be cutting more spending. So how this is going to look is between now and the 4th of July holiday, Senate Republicans are going to really be scrambling to make some changes. But the big challenge over all of that is whatever changes they make, it's going to have to go to the House, back to the House. And if it is a monumental task to pass something in the Senate, it is significantly harder with Republicans' very small majority to pass anything in the House. So that is a real tightrope that Republican leaders are walking now. I think Speaker Johnson likened it to walking on dental floss over the Grand Canyon to pass something like this in the House. But they did it once, so they may have to very well do it again. And there are a lot of question marks as to how this is going to go and whether they can get full buy-in from their own side.
Yeah, I mean, you've got on the anti-deficit side, you've got Rick Scott of Florida, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, yes, and Rand Paul of Kentucky, and at least a couple of those guys are on the ballot in 26. So that complicates all of this. When you look at these red states and their Medicaid recipient percentages, and the fact that a lot of Medicare recipients of late have been voting Republican, it's going to make the politics of this thing, if not untenable, extremely difficult, isn't it?
And that's exactly what Senator Hawley has said. He said, look, Republicans under President Trump, this sort of MAGA movement, has become a movement where the party is looking out more than it did in the past for working class voters. But if they are the party of working class voters, then obviously that means you're going to have a lot of people who rely on Medicaid. And what the bill calls for are reforms to Medicaid, things like work requirements. But where that gets nuanced and tricky is you may have people who very well want to work, who are working, but who may be working, you know, hourly jobs, and there's a minimum of hours you got to work. So if there's a month where, you know, you don't control your own schedule or your hours and you're not getting the hours that you want, all of a sudden, do you lose your health care? I mean, those are the serious questions. And again, where it gets really complicated. And, you know, there are estimates that tens of thousands, if not more, will lose their Medicaid coverage under this bill. But Republicans continue to say that's not going to happen, that this is bluster. But these are coming from estimates from nonpartisan entities that assess these bills. So, you know, Senator Hawley may very well have a point here. And that's why he says that until some changes are made, he cannot support the bill. Remember, the Senate has 53 Republicans. So for them to pass it, they need to hit 50. Because if it's a tie vote, then Vice President J.D. Vance comes and breaks the tie, the bill passes. They can afford to lose three. They cannot afford to lose four. And right now, as you and I have been talking about, there are more than four Republicans who at least have concerns, if not outright opposition.
Do we have any idea what the constituents of some of these Republican senators are telling their representatives, you know, telling their senators, you know, not to vote for this because they don't want to lose Medicaid, because they don't want to lose their benefits?
I mean, we know that senators' offices have been getting phone calls, certainly. The tough part is, I'm not in there screening calls,
right,
for who's actually making these calls. So, you know, Republicans will sometimes say it's a bunch of Democratic activists blowing up their phones. I don't know that that's true. I have seen outside the hearings that I've been at as this bill was being voted on and crafted, we saw hallways full of people who were protesting with signs and concerns. And, you know, that is very real. You know, you don't often see big, massive crowds like that outside of congressional hearing rooms, but I saw them. I was there just, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago. So there's obviously nationwide, there is a lot of concern that people may lose their health care. It may just be one of those things, too, where if it happens and that is a consequence, that's when you might get the real backlash. Remember, every single member of the U.S. House is looking ahead to 2026. There will be midterms. They will have to answer to voters. And many senators, as you point out, many senators will have the same reality in 26. So, you know, usually simple basic math of politics is people don't like when they have something that's taken away from them. They like when they get things, right? Very basic. So if all of a sudden, in earnest, people start to lose health coverage or denied access, people who genuinely are not cheating the system and are trying to work and do the right thing, you could see that being problematic.
So the Republicans have to get this done. And because if they fail, this is going to be the only significant piece of legislation likely to pass in this next 2 years, perhaps the next 4 years. What is the timeline that you think is necessary to get this done by before the politics of 26 intervene?
Well, so there are a couple deadlines. So the Senate says that they have wanted to get this to the president before the 4th of July holiday. Whether they can do that, that is, you know, we'll see. Sometimes they impose a sort of arbitrary deadline to get the process moving. The government does run out of money at some point here. And that X date, as they say, is, you know, end of August or into September is what we've heard. So it seems like before September, I mean, there would be real economic calamity if this is not done by then. They would need to raise the debt limit, which Republicans have added as a measure into this bill. Also remember that President Trump's 2017 tax cuts do expire. So if this bill doesn't pass and nothing is done, those tax cuts expire. And what the practical impact of that is that virtually every American will see a tax increase. So for those reasons, and Republicans are campaigning on that, actually. Republicans are saying, you know, by Democrats not voting for this, you know, Trump big, beautiful bill, that Democrats are voting for a tax increase. But that would be the practical reality if nothing passes. So there are a couple of, you know, deadlines that are serious that if nothing passes by then, you know, they we're going to be in serious trouble. So, you know, August, September, you imagine is sort of the last date, unless they do something else where they raise the debt limit independently and then give themselves more time, sort of kicking the can down the road. Certainly that's possible. But yeah, that's what we're looking at. So they have, you know, I mean, summer's right around the corner here.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent for News Nation, Joe Khalil, with us on KMOX. Joe, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. Happy to be here.
I got John Hancock sitting in with me, Chris Ranji, here on 104.1 FM KMOX. When we come back, did you see this? John's favorite segment.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Well, John, I got bad news for you.
Bring it on.
If you have not booked your Southwest flight yet,
yeah,
now you got to pay for bags.
Oh.
Did you see that Southwest Airlines has announced that it will cost you $35 to check your first bag, $45 for the second bag if you check two, and it starts today. So if you book a flight today on Southwest Airlines, no more free bags. Remember that bags fly free thing?
Yeah, I do.
That's out the window.
Times are tough, I guess.
That is out the emergency exit.
You got to pay for your bags. But a carry-on bag
starting
is still
today.
Free, right?
That's right.
I'm going to have to fundamentally change the way I pack then.
And because you and I are on the same wavelength on that, because I overpack.
Yeah, you got to take stuff. You got to have stuff.
I always overpack.
Lots of stuff.
I always overpack, and I always use about 40% of what I've taken with me.
But you never know. You never know which 40% is going to be relevant on the trip.
And the last time I didn't overpack, I was a pair of underwear short.
See there?
See?
Yeah. I always take extra because, you know, it rains, you sweat. I mean, who knows? Stuff happens out there.
Don't like it.
I don't either.
Anyway, one of the appealing things about Southwest Airlines, one of the most appealing things about them, is now over as of today.
Wow, it's a sad day in America.
It is.
Mm. Well, I found some life lessons this morning in the shower.
Well, I didn't see that.
Yeah, and it's a good thing. The shaving cream, I shave in the shower.
And have a mirror in there? Or do you wing it?
No, I do it blind, as you can
what?
See. What? So I pick up the shaving cream. It's all gone. It's about a dime size in diameter, maybe an eighth of an inch tall. And I, instead of getting out and getting more shaving cream, because I was warm in there.
You used soap.
No, I made it work. I covered my whole face, telling me that over the course of my life, I have probably wasted 150 cans of shaving cream because you never use it all when you spray too much. And the other life lesson I learned, Ron, this was the name brand. This was Edge. So when it was done, it was done. When you use the off brand, a lot of times with the gel, it kind of straggles on there for a little while, and you got to hold the top down. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it just kind of strings out, and you got to. It takes a long time. I want to die like Edge. I want, when the shaving cream's gone, it's gone. I don't want to linger out of the can for another 15 days or whatever it is. That's the thing I learned.
That's the Louis C.K. joke.
I want to die like Edge.
He's talking about how the last week of your life costs $100,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, $100,000 for more, you know? You don't want that. You want to go quickly.
Yeah.
All right. May you have your wish, John. Just, I don't want it to be anytime soon.
Me either, buddy.
Because I love having you around. All right. Hey, hour two of the show. We got a lot coming up. As I mentioned, Blake Jackson of the Battle Hawks will join us at 10:15. John Rooney at 10:30. John Hancock is with me, Chris Ranji, today on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.